Well, we have 10 games to talk about. Not all of them are probably worthy of talking about. I'm going to force myself to talk about the Utah Jazz. I won't rant too much. I think I did that on Twitter. We don't need to do it on this show. We'll talk about the good aspects of what was a pretty busy night in the NBA. Let's get into everything. This is the Friday post-game show. Let's go. Balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. I did record with Dan Bespris this morning, so there will be a mailbag show coming out tomorrow, I would assume. It was a fun show. We talked about tanking teams and what to do with certain players. So go and check that one out if you're still active and playing fantasy basketball. There's not as many of us, but there's still a few. Let's get straight into the games. We will talk about, obviously, Utah when we get to their game, but they were towards the back end of the night. So we will start at the top with the Pacers. They get the win over Philly. Philly stuck around, which is always good for fantasy purposes. But the starters for Indiana were able to, well, majority of them were able to play minutes in the low 30s, high 20s. Good game for Siakam, Halliburton, 14 and 10. I mean, so much of this portion of the season is simply, well, for lack of a better term, bums on seats. It's just guys playing. If they play, that's a win in itself. So Halliburton, yeah, he wasn't awesome, but he played. Nembhard, we don't need to be holding him. Pacers, they're one of the teams that are actually rolling out their lineup every night because they are playing for wins. Turner had 18 and 7 with a block. Neesmith, pretty good game for Neesmith. He can be streamed. Nembhard can be streamed as well. 10 games tonight, so there probably wasn't a ton of streaming available. TJ McConnell had 8 points, no assists, no steals. So if for some reason you did stream him in, he did not come to the party. But we don't need to worry too much about the Pacers because we know where the value lies. Siakam, Turner and Halliburton are our rosterable players. Mathurin is sort of there but sort of not. Likewise, Neesmith and Nembhard. For the Sixers, look at this for a lineup. Ricky Council, Gershon Yabusele, Adem Boner, Jeff Doughton, and Jared Butler. That's one hell of a starting lineup for an NBA team. Let's start with Adem Boner because he's been pretty good over the last week. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block, 34 minutes. I think we have to roster him. There was no Andre Drummond in this one, but honestly, who cares if Andre Drummond plays another game this season? He probably will. But I would be holding Adem Boner. He's playing 25-plus every night. He's a good rebounder, good shot blocker. So I would have him. I would have him over Yabusele. Yabusele had 15 rebounds. Sorry, not much else. 36 minutes. So, look, I guess if we're just simply adding players that are playing, we probably add Yabusele. But like I said, I'd rather Boner. I think he has far more upside. Jeff Doughton had 24 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block. Stream him in, sure. Paul George is not coming back. Tyrese Maxey is, I think, it sounds like he could be back in the next week. So if you do have Maxey, try and hold him. How much does he play? I don't know. He will impact Jared Butler, Jeff Doughton. Justin Edwards was out in this one, as was Kelly Oubre. So they did have a few other names out. Butler, Dan and I talked about him on the show this morning. I subsequently went and picked him up in a league. I was pretty happy. 17 points, 4 assists, a block, 33 minutes. Even Ricky Council had 14-4 with 3 blocks. So, look, honestly, anyone in this starting five you could make a case for as being someone we need to roster moving forward. Bona would be top of the list for me, followed by probably Jared Butler, and then the rest. Oubre, he'll come back. He'll do his thing. So we're probably holding him. Is his upside high enough? I don't know. It's really hard with this Philly team. But yes, let's just go and add a Dem Bona. Let's make that the takeaway. All right, Boston 103 over Miami 91. For the Celtics, we know that they're sort of rotating a little bit with some of their guys. So no Kristaps Porzingis, who continues to battle his illness. He'll be back at some point. But Luke Kornet had 4 and 4. Pretty lame, honestly, from him. Nice opportunity here. Now, I think they do play tomorrow, the Celtics. Luke Kornet probably won't. Al Horford probably won't play. If Porzingis doesn't play again, then we probably hold Kornet if you streamed him in tonight. Derek White had 18, 5, and 4. We know the story with White, with Tatum, with Jaylen Brown when he comes back. Drew Holiday had his best game in, 2 months maybe? 25 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. But he's not going to play every game. This is like a week's worth of production based on what we've seen this season. So I'm not rushing to add him. Peyton Pritchard had 11 and 3 with 3 steals. So the steals are good. The scoring very up and down for him at the moment. He is just a stream guy when the schedule favors the Celtics. Let's go to the Miami. Again, another pretty boring team, Miami. Tyler Herro was fine. Bam Adebayo, pretty quiet. 9 and 9, a block. He's been a little bit underwhelming this season, I feel. I don't have him anywhere, but that's just how it comes across to me. Harkes had 13 points, nothing else. Wiggins, 23 points, 4 steals. So we hold Wiggins, we hold Bam, we hold Tyler. Herro, Khalil Ware, look, so he moved back to the bench. Whether this is just a matchup thing or are they going to try him off the bench? Either way, I think you can move on. You don't have to hold him. 15 minutes is not going to be enough. This is what we were getting from him earlier in the season, and he wasn't a hold then. So if things change, you go and add him. But for now, no. Davion Mitchell had 4 assists and a steal, but also came off the bench. I think you can probably still stream him, even though he's going to come off the bench. Well, he did here, whether he does moving forward. If you just need assists, I think he's okay as a sort of a soft hold. Okay, Clippers get the win over the Hawks. Now, the Hawks, can I actually look at it on here? Does it have the quarter-by-quarter breakdown? Maybe it doesn't. So I feel like, oh, yeah, it does. There we go. The Hawks scored 8 points in the third quarter. So there you go. There's a fact for you. Surely that's the lowest this season. Let's start with the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard, 25, 6, and 2 with 5 steals. He was good. Harden was good, 25, 8, and 7. Usually you play the Hawks and you get pretty good production because they don't play defense. Zubats had 18 and 6. No defensive stats, but the scoring's been very nice lately. Even Batum got 11 points. Don't add him. Chris Dunn, streaming for steals. He had 0 points on 0 of 4 shooting. And this is the issue with him. Obviously, he's a very good defender. They're going to have him on the court when they need him. But against a Hawks team like this, they don't need him. So he just doesn't play. We saw more of Amir Coffey, Derek Jones, Bogdan Bogdanovic. Ben Simmons returned. No, I'm not adding Ben Simmons or Coffey or Derek Jones. Bogdanovic has been slightly better, but I still don't think we need to roster him. I think it's Harden, it's Zubats, it's Kawhi. Beyond that, move on. For the Hawks, not pretty reading for them. Reece Shea was okay. Muhammad Gay continues to start but doesn't do anything. I don't know what they're doing there. Okongwu, he was good, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks and a steal. So his last game was pretty poor. Good to see him bounce back here. Trae Young, 17 and 7, no steals, 6 of 18 from the field. Yeah, look, I mean, it's on the surface, 17 and 7 is fine. And he'd been better than this. So we just sort of write this one off and move on. Dyson Daniels had 3 steals, but shot the ball very poorly, 2 of 12. He'd been better than this as well. So he will be better than this. Caris LeVert, 12, 4 and 2. 2 steals and a block, 21 minutes. He's borderline. I think you probably can hold him. I'd have him over Terrence Mann, over Veet Krejci, over George Niang. This was just not a good game. So I wouldn't be sort of making any panic moves or anything here. But Dyson, Trey, Okongwu are our must roster players. And then you've got Reece Shea, LeVert are probably our primary streamers. I might actually, just now that I'm thinking about it while I do the show and I'm talking about players that are must roster, it's very cutthroat at this time of the year. I might even do an updated tweet of who is a must roster player on each team, because it's going to be a smaller list than it was last time. All right, Cleveland get their, 400th win in a row or something, 133 to 124 over the Grizzlies. For Cleveland, still no Donovan Mitchell. He's out with a groin injury. I don't think it's anything too serious, but just keep an eye on it, because obviously they don't have to push him at all. Mobley was fantastic, 22 and 11, 2 blocks and a steal. He's very, very good player. Jared Allen had 16 and 6. Garland, 20 points, 9 assists, 4 steals. Strus, we're not rostering him. DeAndre Hunter returned after an illness. He had 18 points with nothing else. That's what he does. We know who he is. Ty Jerome, only 17 minutes, 12 and 5. Do they play? No, I don't think they do play tomorrow. Let me just have a look. Maybe it's Sunday they play. Cavs. No Cavs tomorrow. So Ty Jerome, is he worth holding? Maybe. Have a look at your roster for tomorrow. Have a look at your roster for Sunday. Dean Wade, no. Sam Merrill, no. 3s only. So we've got Garland, we've got Jarrett Allen, we've got Mobley, we've got Donovan Mitchell are our must roster players. Hunter's pretty close. You probably could make an argument that he is someone who has to be rostered. And then you've got Ty Jerome in that next step down with Sam Merrill. He's pretty limited, though. For the Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson returned. So obviously his ankle injury was not a grade 2 ankle sprain because he returned in 2 weeks, so it was a grade 1. 13 points, 4 steals, 2 blocks. Good to have him back. With him back, Zach Edey played 11 minutes. We can move on from him. Brandon Clark, I was interested to see what they did here. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 19 minutes. That's borderline, I think, for Brandon Clark. Jalen Wells, 7 points, nah. Ja Morant had 44, 8, and 7. So he is rounding into some nice form. So as long as he can stay healthy, he should be very valuable down the stretch. Bain had 12 points on 5 of 16 shooting. Someone asked me about a pickup for the next... So the Grizzlies must play tomorrow, I think. I'm sure I saw that Jaren Jackson is probable. Yes, they do play Miami. So someone asked me, who was a pickup for this back-to-back? Was it Kennard or someone? And I know I went with the someone. It wasn't Kennard. Pretty glad I did. Kennard had 0 points. Scottie Pippen is sort of back in favour, I think. 8 points, 6 assists, 3 steals a block, 22 minutes. He's sort of in that Ty Jerome discussion, I think. He's doing just enough. So I think you could hold him, especially given they're on a back-to-back. And then maybe reassess and move on for Sunday if you need to. So Jaren Jackson, Ja Morant, Desmond Bain are our must roster players. And then you've probably got, there's so much depth here. Brandon Clark, Scottie Pippen, Zach Edey. They're probably the priorities. Yeah, that'll do. That'll do. Charlotte and the Spurs. So a big win for the Hornets, 145, 134, 0 defense being played. For the Hornets, Mark Williams, he played. He didn't have a block. Damn you, Mark Williams. I need shot blocking. 14, 10, and 3 for him. Daquan Jeffries started again, 13 points. Not really interested there. Josh Green out of nowhere, 20 points, 4 steals. No, I'm not rushing to add him. I think if you look at his box score, this is probably more points than he's scored in the last week combined. Miles Bridges had 21, 7, and 8. LaMelo Ball, probably his best game in quite a while, actually. He looked like he was having fun. I mean, obviously, when you're winning, you're going to have more fun. But 27 points, 15 assists, 1 steal, perfect from the line, 7 threes. So, yeah, look, nice. I don't think they have a back-to-back for a little while. Or maybe they do have one. Is that Charlotte I was talking about? I don't know. Maybe they do have one next week. But he seems to be playing outside of the back-to-backs, which is good. Nick Smith had 26 points in 27 minutes off the bench. Do we add him? Look, there's a few players that are in this bulk or high-volume scoring bundle at the moment. A couple of Raptors guys in there as well. Yeah, look, Nick Smith, sure. But, I mean, we've seen him. We've seen a big enough sample size to know that this is an outlier. He's not going to shoot 75% from the field and whatever that is from three, 80% or something. Nurkic had 14 points with 3 rebounds in 13 minutes. Until Mark Williams misses another game, you can hold Nurkic, but I wouldn't be. He's not playing enough. And obviously Diabate, absolutely no way you can hold him. For the Spurs, we got our first look at their rotation without De'Aaron Fox. As I fix this and have a coffee. So as expected, it was Steph Castle who moved into the starting lineup. Dan and I talked about him on the Mailbag show. Someone asked if he is must roster player, and we both said, yep. And I'm glad we did. 26 points, a steal, a block, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, shot the ball well. You have to roster him. Devin Vassell continues to play well despite their results. 22 points, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. Harrison Barnes, whatever, Bismack Biyombo, 0 points in 21 minutes. That's a good effort. 4 assists, 3 steals, a block. No, you don't have to have him. Chris Paul, I feel like he is moving into drop territory. 3 assists, 3 points. That's it in 18 minutes. I think we will get to a point where he is either not playing or, much like here, he's playing 15 to 18 minutes a night. And they will just give more of the ball to Julian Champagne, Blake Wesley, Jeremy Sohan, these guys. Malachi Branham will probably come into a larger role at some point. So I think Vassell, Castle are probably our only must-roster players. Chris Paul in some situations can be rostered, but I don't think you have to hold him. He's not playing enough and not doing enough either. Okay, Orlando, they fall to the Timberwolves, 118 to 111. We know the story with the Magic. It's Paolo, it's Franz, and then it's nothing. That was the story here again. Caleb Houston somehow had 18 points and 4 steals off the bench. I'm not falling for that. Corey Joseph continues to start over Anthony Black, and this, again, emphasizes how little faith they have in Anthony Black. I have no idea what this Magic team is doing. They looked so good at the start of the year. I know they've lost Jalen Suggs, but they're just a shell of what they were to start the season. Wendell Carter is probably the worst starting center in the NBA. Goga Badadze just is not in the rotation anymore. It is weird. It's really hard to know what to do here. So I hold Paolo. I hold Franz. That's it. It's pretty simple from that perspective. I feel like there should be some streaming value, but there's just not. For the Wolves, Jaden McDaniels offensively slowed down a little bit here. 11 points on 4 of 6 shooting, but he had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Dan and I also spoke about him and the fact, or the discussion was around whether he is breaking out. I don't know if you'd call it breaking out, but he is certainly far more consistent than he was. We talked about where he might be drafted next year. We sort of settled in around the 8th round, 7th to 8th round, depending on your build and that sort of thing. But he's been very good. Randall had 22, 7, and 5. Gobert, a double-double, low-end double-double, but a double-double nonetheless. Conley still looks pretty washed. He wasn't plus 20, but didn't put up any stats. DiVincenzo had 14 and 5 with a steal and a block off the bench. He is the point guard we want to roster in Minnesota. Naz Reid has predictably cooled off a little bit with the return of Randall and Gobert. 8 points for Reid. Hopefully you were able to sell high on him about a month ago. Alexander Walker, again, stream if you need to, but not very exciting. Speaking of not exciting, Dallas, 133 to 96. They tumble to another loss. Dante Exum broke his hand in this game, so what the hell is going on with the Mavericks? Look, they are not tanking. They just don't have any healthy players. This will be interesting to see what happens in the next game because you need 8 players healthy. They had 9 in this one. Brandon Williams is on a two-way, I think, so has limited games left. They're probably going to have to convert him, I think. Max Christie has just turned into a spud. 2 points for him. Move on. He's not doing enough. Najee Marshall, we're holding him. Klay Thompson had been playing very well. Did not play well here. 5 points. He's very, very sporadic, very temperamental when it comes to fantasy value. When he's not hitting shots, he has no value at all. So who are we holding on this team? Najee Marshall, pretty clearly. PJ Washington's close, so I think we probably hold him. Brandon Williams, you have to hold him and play him until we hear that he can't play anymore or they sign him. Dinwiddie, you probably hold as well. 20 points for Dinwiddie, not much else, but 35 minutes. So it is probably Najee Marshall, Spencer Dinwiddie, Brandon Williams and PJ Washington. It's very sad reading. Look, I feel like Max Christie is going to do something at some point. We're just not there yet. He'll give us a week of top 80 value. And for the Rockets, very comfortable win here. The minutes were down for the starters. Let's start at the top. Tari Eason, career high 30 points, 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks. A lot of this is to do with the opposition, but he has been playing well. So good to see. Now they are on a back-to-back tomorrow. Yes, they play the Bulls tomorrow, so prepare for him to be rested. But I would hold him, I think. He's doing enough. Amen Thompson is still out for probably another week. So, yeah, I would be holding Tari Eason despite the likelihood of a missed game tomorrow. Look, with the blowout here, we don't need to pay too much attention. Fred VanVleet had 8 points, 3 assists, a steal. We're probably holding him. There's a decent chance he sits tomorrow as well, coming off that ankle injury. If both he and Tari Eason are out, Jabari Smith would move into the starting lineup for Tari Eason. That's a pretty straight swap, so make sure Jabari Smith is rostered. And then it's probably Aaron Holiday that starts. If you're looking for some back-end cheap guard stats, I would give him a look tomorrow as well. Maybe we get a Cam Whitmore cameo. I'm not convinced, but we could. I probably wouldn't target him. I'd rather Aaron Holiday. I'd rather Jabari Smith. Although Jabari Smith is probably rostered, if we're being fair. All right, next game. All right, Toronto. Here we go. Toronto get the win over Utah. Let's start with Toronto. So no Jakob Poeltl. He was out for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. They just don't want to play him. So Colin Castleton got the start over Orlando Robinson. Castleton picked up 3 fouls in the first 7 minutes, and so they just, as these stupid coaches do, they didn't play him for whatever reason. He ended up with 4 fouls. Probably could have played 32 minutes and had a much better line. But 13 points, 7 rebounds. Again, would have loved a block. But 13 and 7, 2 assists, perfect from the field, perfect from the line. He has a really nice fantasy game. And I think they play tomorrow. Am I wrong in saying that? I am wrong in saying that, aren't I? They don't play tomorrow, so they must play Sunday. So if you streamed in Castleton, which I did, I'll probably hold him. Orlando Robinson, likewise, 14 and 10 with two blocks. Make sure we're holding him. Jamison Battle had 7 points. He's okay. I'd rather an AJ Lawson in this situation. I'd rather Jamal Shedd because he does a little bit more other than score as well. Shedd had 11 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks in his 27 minutes. Lawson had 18 points, not much else. That's what he is. Garrett Temple, 20 minutes. There you go. That's 20. Welcome to 2025, Garrett Temple. Scotty Barnes was good. Limited minutes here. They just didn't push him. Why bother? 20 and 10 for Scotty. And RJ Barrett, 17 points with 5 assists and a steal in his 25 minutes. So both of those guys were fine. And Quickly had 20 points. Now, we know Quickly is going to rest certain games, as is RJ Barrett. Scotty Barnes, I'm not so sure. Jakob Poeltl, obviously. So we hold Barrett, we hold Barnes. I think we hold Quickly. Make sure Robinson is rostered. Castleton, maybe. Even when Jakob Poeltl played in that last game, Castleton still played pretty good minutes. So I feel like they're just going to move away from Poeltl, whether that's resting him or whether it's just playing him 15 minutes a night. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Based on what Utah did, they may go down that path because that's obviously a loophole that you don't rest a player or list them as out for rest. You suit them up, you go through warm-ups, and then you sit them on the bench for the entire game. That's what the Jazz did here. Walker Kessler was not on the injury report and then just didn't play. This is just ridiculous. As I said, I put stuff on Twitter. I don't know what to do. If the league is not going to do anything about this, then the teams aren't going to stop because why would you? Filipowski started. Make sure he's rostered. Markkanen played but didn't play the second half. So that's another way around it. Just play a guy half. It's like a preseason game. Look, Collier hadn't been playing as well, but he's at least playing. So I think we roster him. I think we roster Filipowski. I mean, I'm still going to hold Kessler just because his upside in blocks alone is worth holding. He can win you that category. So I would be holding Kessler. Markkanen, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, Keontae George. Sure, I've got Keontae in a league. It's a fairly shallow league, so I will probably consider moving off him. He's missed 3 games in a row now. Presumably that means he actually does have an injury, but they will play on this injury. Does that mean he's done for the year? Probably not. Does it mean he's going to play in 50% of the games? Maybe. I think that's probably where we're at with most of these typical starter guys like Markkanen and Kessler and Clarkson and that sort of thing. They're going to play either half the games or half the time per game. And if that's what the Jazz can get away with. And as I said, the league refuses to do anything about it. They, for some reason, they're fining the Thunder for resting a whole heap of players. And I know there is that rule around resting superstar players and that sort of thing. Why? What does it matter if it's a superstar player? Yeah, anyway, I'm just going to move on to the next game because I don't want to talk about the Jazz anymore. The Lakers fall to the Nuggets. Very admirable performance by the Lakers without Luka, who was a bit tired. LeBron also out in this one. Yeah, I don't want to talk about Luka either. Austin Reeves, though, 37 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds, 4 steals. Fantastic if you have him. Enjoy this because Luka will presumably come back for the next game. Who knows? We would assume that he will. The Lakers are such a weird organization. If we look at the playoffs here in the West, so they've now fallen to the 5th seed. I think the Timberwolves will catch them. They are currently the 7th seed. Like the Lakers, to me here. The Lakers could tumble a bit and actually fall into the play-in, which I know the LeBron injury doesn't help, but I just don't know why you'd be resting Luka unless he's unless they've rushed him back from an injury, which is highly likely. I don't think they're going to fall into the depths of Sacramento, Dallas, down in that 33 win range at the moment. Lakers are at 40 wins, but the Clippers, who are eighth, are on 37 wins. There's not that much of a difference. I would worry if I was a Lakers fan. I think they could fall into that range and end up coming up against someone like a Denver in the playoffs, which you probably don't want to do. For the Lakers, as I said, Reeves, very good. Vanderbilt started. He had 9, 7, and 7 with 3 steals. He's very up and down. Hard to trust. Dalton Connect, this is the game we were waiting for, 32 points. Absolutely nothing else, but it took him 27 shots to get there. He hit 5 threes. Well, with no Rui, with no LeBron, with no Luka, someone had to score, and it was him tonight. I wouldn't fall for this in terms of dropping someone to pick him up, but if you've got an empty roster spot, sure. But like I said, Luka will presumably be back for the next game. Shake Milton had 16, 5, and 3 off the bench as well. That's how deep they had to go here. No, I'm not going to talk about Bronny James. He had 5 points, but whatever. He's not a good player. For Denver, fully healthy, running a usual rotation. Jokic just did his thing. Jamal Murray did his thing. Christian Brown apparently did his thing. 22, 5, and 6 for him. Aaron Gordon had 17, 7, and 4. And Michael Porter Jr. had 13 points. He slowed a bit, MPJ, but I think we roster him, we roster Jokic, we roster Murray, we roster Brown. Westbrook had 17, 6, and 7 with a steal. Obviously a nice matchup against a Lakers team with no one. I think Westbrook is pretty borderline. You know who he is, you know what stats he brings you. So if that fits what you need, you can. You can hold him. And the final game of the night, the Sacramento Kings, another loss, this time to the Phoenix Suns, 120-106. For the Kings, Domantas Sabonis returned 30 minutes. That's pretty good. 12 points, 11 rebounds, 12 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. So good numbers, a little bit quiet offensively, but everything else was really good. No word of a setback, so we would assume he is just back now, which means Jonas Valanciunas can wave bye-bye. 6 points for him. Thank you for your service. Send him back to the waiver wire. Malik Monk had 18, 8, and 5, so a little bit better from him. LaVine had 21 points, DeRozan 23, and Keegan Murray 14. We know, look, this is their rotation. And we probably just roster all of their starting five, even Keegan Murray, because he's playing big minutes. He doesn't bring you a lot of versatility, is not the right word. He doesn't do a lot across the board, but he's getting some points. He gets a steal now and then. Keon Ellis had 7 points. Now, I know there's a lot of talk, obviously, about Keon Ellis and should we roster him and how good is he? They need him on the floor, blah, 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 blah. He was a minus 18 here, second worst only to, to Zach LaVine. 7 points, 1 steal. I know I rag on the coaches sometimes, but they are NBA coaches for a reason. And, there's a reason that Keon Ellis doesn't play big minutes all the time. It's because he is very limited in other areas of the game. Don't have to roster him, stream him in for steals. For Phoenix, no Nick Richards. He was a late-ish scratch with that ankle injury, so Mason Plumlee started and got ejected again, 2 games in a row for him, fighting with Steven Adams. And then I think he threw an elbow or something at Sabonis. I couldn't find a video of it. Doesn't sound like there's going to be a suspension or anything, but, yeah, Plumlee obviously just wants to hit that shower first. Don't need to roster him. Iguodaro, I think as long as Richards is out, maybe he's worth a look. 11 points, 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Tyus Jones had 20 points with 4 assists. Look, you're against a Sacramento team that doesn't really play defense again, so inflated numbers for a few of these guys. Durant was fine. Ryan Dunn started and had 16 points with 4 steals. He does this occasionally, not enough, I don't think, to be running out and grabbing him. Royce O'Neal had 9 points. So Durant, Booker, Beal, they're probably our three that we roster. Nick Richards is probably also a hold. I don't think this injury is going to cost him too many more games, if at all. He could be back in the next game. Tyus Jones, like the 20 points was good here, but hasn't been playing enough. He hasn't been doing enough, so you don't need to roster him. And look at Bol Bol there down the bottom. 43 seconds for Bol Bol, 1 rebound. Rest in peace, Bol Bol. All right, let's get to some questions. Joseph Kim, the Jazz versus Raps game was probably the worst thing I've seen this year. It was not pretty. That's why I didn't watch a lot of it. Yep, we're all mad earnest at the Jazz. But like I said on Twitter, my beef is not with the teams, because if they're allowed to do it, why wouldn't you do it? They're looking after their best interests here. So if the league is not going to make a change or put in a rule or anything, which they're not going to do now, obviously, it'll be over the off season. Whether they're going to look at this and just see that, hey, this has gone too far, but I'm not holding my breath. Ernest, also not looking for advice, just praying that your 10-rebound lead holds for at least the last 2 days of the week. Spent your last ad on Justin Champagne instead of Dayron, as I thought Kessler would get some rebounds. Yep, I'm actually losing in the league as well now by one block. I could have picked up Adem Bona tonight if I was going to move Nick Richards into my IR spot. And I thought, I've got Kessler there, so he should be right. He should get me 2, 3, 4 blocks. And then, of course, I missed Adem Bona because he started early, and then we got all the Jazz shit. So, yeah, that was rough. Will Orlando Robinson still have value when Poeltl returns? I think he might. It'll be up and down. It'll be a little bit hit or miss. But I think if we, in a month, we've got about a month left, in a month, if we were to look at the last month of value, I think Orlando Robinson will be a top 80 player. So probably yes. Should I drop Poeltl for Bona? Ooh. I think I'm going to say yes. Yep. If you can go quantity over quality here, because Poeltl is very good in 20 minutes. Bona, not quite as good, but if he's going to play 30 minutes, 28 minutes every night, Poeltl's going to play 20 minutes every second night. Simple maths. You go with Bona. Darren Wilson. G'day, Kingy. G'day, Darren. Dynasty question. Kamara or Tari? Ooh. That's close. My gut sort of says Tari. I think I'll go Tari. Just. It's pretty close, though. How long is Drummond out? Thinking of dropping Jonas for Bona. Do it. Doesn't matter how long Drummond's out. Drop Jonas for Bona. Pick up Dinwiddie or Brandon Williams now that Exum is out too. Yes, I would pick up Williams over Dinwiddie, but playoffs start week 21. Okay, yeah. So they do have a 2-game week next week. Remember the Mavericks. So that impacts pickups, but yes, I guess a bigger picture here, I would add Brandon Williams and then Spencer Dinwiddie. Very good call, Slat. I can't believe that the Jazz had Walker Kessler healthy. Yeah, they've had him healthy for the last 2 months, but they just keep ruling him out. I don't know what they're going to do. Is Walker Kessler a drop? Not yet. No. No, like I said, his per game upside is just too high. Lone Dez doesn't have a fantasy question today because you have a bye next week. Very good. Remember to keep an eye on those waiver wires and moves and things like that. Because things will be happening even though you're not playing. You don't get the NBA investigating OKC in that game versus the Blazers because they were coming from a five game in 8 nights. Yeah, that's right. The NBA does this to themselves. And I said, eliminate back-to-backs. Reduce the schedule. It's not going to happen, but that's what they need to do. 70 games, 68 games would be much better. No back-to-backs. But yes, not going to happen. Is Filipowski for sure an ad? Seems inconsistent. Let's bring up some numbers for him. Yes, I do want to continue. Oh, there he is. Oh, there he was. Hang on, let's bring him up again. I think the only team I had Filipowski in, I think I lost in my quarterfinals last week, so I don't currently have him in any rosters, although I know he is available in one of my very shallow leagues. Where are we? Okay, so, yeah, look, I mean, he's been a little bit inconsistent. So 33 minutes tonight, obviously very good. Before that, 16, 30. Collins is out with an injury now. That's, I think, where the sway comes here, because Collins is actually now out for 2 weeks. Well, he's probably done for the season, but Collins is out for 2 weeks with an ankle injury. They've said that. So this is not rest. This is not uncertainty. He just won't play. So even when Kessler comes back, they were playing Kessler and Filipowski together. Sorry, losing my train of thought there. They are playing Filipowski and Kessler together. So I think with Collins gone, I think that helps Filipowski. Not directly, because he's not really playing the four too much, but yeah, I think those games where we saw him get 16 minutes in the last week, Collins played both of those games. Collins isn't there anymore. So I think he'll be like 24 minimum, 25, which is probably just enough to be rostered. Would I drop Christie to get Trey Jones, or do I prefer Champagne? Looking for assist points and steals. I'd probably go Trey Jones there right now. Giddy will come back eventually, but not back yet. Lonzo's already been ruled out for tomorrow, so I'd probably go Trey Jones for now. Shining Knight, this must be Filipowski, available in your 10-team and 11-team leagues. Yeah, I'd be okay taking a bit of a chance there on him, for sure. All right, and that'll do. That was a pretty smooth show. I like a smooth show. As I said, Dan and I recorded earlier today, so that'll come out tomorrow. That'll be a mailbag show. It was just some broad topics, just talking about tanking teams and resting players and Jaden McDaniels. Can't think what else we talked about. It was a fun one. I will be back tomorrow with a post-game show. That could be my last one for a little bit. I've got surgery the following day, so there definitely won't be a show for the Sunday night games. I'm not sure. It will depend on the surgery and the pain and all of that sort of stuff and how mobile I am, whether I can get up here to the computer and sit at the computer. Yeah, I might even tweet something, I'm not sure, just to let people know. But thank you, as always, for watching along or listening after the fact. Please go and download. Please go and like and subscribe and do all of that stuff. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.